welcome back to the D&D show, part two. Thank you very much for your patience while we had a break, or if you're listening to the podcast, welcome to the next episode, whatever you want to do. If you've just, I noticed someone has just joined us, Melo Gibbo, I say, he's just joined us.
Hello.
A break, so if you're still with us, hello to you. Quick catch up, I'll just quickly go, nothing happened in the first half. So basically... We picked it up from last session, from last week. Still in Phandalin. You did some shopping, got some potions, you got some new armor, you hired some horses, you found out some information from an old adventurer called Darren Edemath that he used to be a member of the Order of the Gauntlet. And then you left and you're heading towards Thunderstree to find the druid Redoth. Nothing much happened in the first sort of day of traveling. At night, Pock saw there's a storm brewing out on the horizon. Some hours go past, and unfortunately, Millicent failed a perception check, and you've been beset upon by some ghouls, which are kind of like a harder version of zombies. They're kind of a bit faster. They're more like the running type zombies as opposed to the slow.
Like 28 days later, zombies. Yeah, basically. Oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah, my worst.
They're the worst zombies. Yeah, man.
Yeah, we have to roll initiative. Do we? Can we not
run?
So let's get going. I suppose let's get on it. So we've done initiative. I've redone a bit of the map and stuff. I've worked out thanks to the people in the chat. I've worked out how to actually put the proper icons in there with hit points and stuff like that, and then set the initiative tracker on there. So that's great. So Millicent, we left off with you just basically as they beset upon, they're charging towards you, all hungry and slavering at the mouth, kind of claws outstretched, charging at you. You've dived backwards closer towards the fire and you've shouted at everyone to wake up. That's your go. First one is going to run in and will make an attack for you at the moment as you're the only one stood up. So, a ghoul, they don't have any weapons. They have claws and they have a mouth to bite. So, it's just going to roll two claws at you. A 12 against your armor class as it runs towards you and slashes at you with its claws.
Misses
you. Okay. Exciting. Next one.
Even the fight shit this week.
Even this is going to be slow and boring. That one runs up to claw at you. Rolls an 8 and misses you. Boom. Droop. Let's see. So you shouted to get everybody up and there's noise and stuff. Let's see how well Droop notices. Droop does not move.
What a useless prick.
Can you just lob him in a tree or something for a
just
bit?
Throw him at one of them.
Yeah.
So can I throw the goblin?
Fuck me. Okay, so whilst you've been woken up, Pock, you wake up and you see this ghoul in your face crabbing at you, going to bite at you as you're down the floor. It dives on you. You manage to roll out of the way. So because you're prone, it gets advantage against you on a melee attack. Do you want to know what I rolled with advantage?
Absolutely.
A 1 and a 2. Jumps down on you, just managed to barrel roll out the way and scramble yourself up. It's actually Pock, now your turn.
Okay, I am going to cast Fairy Fire, which is a concentration spell.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read the blurb?
Please do.
Each object in a 20-foot cube within range is outlined in blue, green, or violet, player's choice. Any creature in the area when the spell is cast is also outlined in light if it fails a dexterity saving throw. For the duration, objects and affected creatures shed a dim light. Any attack roll against the affected creature has advantage if the attacker can see it, and excellent. The affected creature or object can't benefit from being invisible. I think I get to pick the point where it happens as well.
Does it have like an area of effect? Does it say
how? It's a 60-foot range and it affects a 20-foot cube.
Right. Okay. So you can get all of them. Where you want to put it. So 20-foot cube is pretty big.
As many as I can do. I don't know if this will also affect Millicent though. That's what I'm worried about.
So you've got 20-foot. Yeah. So you can basically do the square where you all are. So you can do all of you guys basically. Does it just do every creature? It doesn't negate. You can't choose them to negate your allies or anything.
No, any creature in the area when the spell is cast. Okay. Does that mean they get attack advantage against us?
They would do.
Oh no.
in that case, it's a 60-foot range, so I could possibly get two of them.
You could cast it sort of enough down here that it just gets these two.
Yeah, I don't want any of us to have disadvantage on anything.
So where do you want to cast?
You could cast, like, I'd like to cast it where it just clips
these two.
Two guys. Yeah, whatever I can, as many as I can fit in without affecting anyone else. Two out of four ain't bad. That famous song, isn't it?
Yeah, so you could get the, you could basically get to these two on the bottom there, or you could get the one next to you and this one, or you could get this one and this one. So you can get two.
Yeah, I'll take the two beneath Millicent, and then I'll take care of this other bastard.
They need to make a dexterity saving throw. What was the difficulty?
13.
Okay, and I put a little purple dot on it.
Okay. Lovely.
That's so. Was that an action or was that a counter bonus?
That's an action.
Okay. So what?
As a bonus action, I'll turn into a fucking bear, please.
Let's
not fuck around. So that's a concentration spell for a minute.
That's you done, yeah?
Yes, please.
Oh, you look tasty. Look, it's good. All of a sudden, there's this massive bear there, and it's undead. It doesn't know the difference, but it's just a creature, and you look tasty because you're huge. All of the food it can eat. So this one will come up and attack you, Mr. Bear. And roll a 15.
That's a hit.
Excellent. So you're going to take 5 points of damage, slashing damage. I would like you to roll a DC... Oh, well, I'm not going to tell you what a DC is. Can you just roll me a constitution saving throw, please?
Oh, shit. I don't suppose my inspiration would benefit with it.
You could use your inspiration to re-roll, so constitution saving throw. So you rolled a 7. Do you want to add anything onto that in your saving throw box?
No, it's a 0 for constitution.
Okay. You rolled a 3, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to tell you.
You could re-roll that if you wanted to, with your inspiration.
You've got inspiration, so if you want to use that to re-roll, then you can.
Yes, please.
Re-roll.
I'm terrified about what's about to happen. Come on. 13.
Lovely. Okay, nothing happens.
Good. Thank you. I'm so scared of Luke now. Terrible.
I wouldn't be. I wouldn't be. I'm just going to pop that out because I might need that later on. Cool. Okay. As it's go, Scapes, you wake up.
Right.
Millicent screaming and there's growling and slavering. And then suddenly there's a bear growling and you're on the floor and you're like, what the fuck is going on? Now, here's a question. After your turn on Night Watch and you went to sleep, would you have doffed your armor or would you have slept all uncomfortable in your
armor? Oh, I would have slept in my armor. Yeah. Definitely slept in my armor. I always sleep in my armor and never take it off.
Never take it off. Okay.
Not even to wash.
Not even.
No, I don't. I don't wash. That's not part of my morals.
He just oils.
Yeah, oil.
Saving throw wasn't for non-visible.
In the first Star Wars film, when they drop C-3PO into like a bath of oil. Like.
Yeah, exactly. I just come out all shiny.
Nice. Okay. So you're on the floor. I'll allow you to have your armor on. Your sword and your shield will be near you, I presume.
Okay.
What do you do?
So, I would like to get up and get my sword and shield for a start. Where are they?
I'd presume that you sleep with them relatively next to you.
Okay, so how much is that going to cost me? Like, is that my whole move? Or
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a house rule on that one. I'll allow you just to have it to grab them as you pick out, because if they, again, it wouldn't be. You can draw a weapon as an action. Maybe this round you wouldn't necessarily have use of your shield because you'd need to strap your shield on properly to use it. So you would be
okay.
You can have an action to put your shield on, or you can just attack without your shield and have a lower AC for the combat. It's up to you.
No, I think I'd rather get my shield because I think so. Do I still have a bonus action?
You would still have a bonus action, yeah. So you'll use your action to draw your sword and quickly like grab and
yeah.
You have to like do up the strap on the arm to get the shield on properly for it to use it effectively.
Yeah. Okay, cool. And then I'd like to cast a hunter's mark on the bastards, So I'd like to mark this baby, the guy next to the purple dude.
Okay, cool. Okay, Burr. So, Burr, you wake up and on your back, there's a massive bear next to you. Roll me a quick perception check to see if you can work out what's going on.
14.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. I'll allow that. Cool. There you go. So you wake up, you go, that, I've seen that bear before. That's Pock. Shit. And there's some kind of weird...
There's trouble.
Motherfucker. Yeah. What are we going to do?
I guess I'm going to attack this fellow. Sure. So run up one space and I'll attack with my rapier.
Cool.
Great. Three.
That's a miss.
And can I do another attack?
With a dagger? Yeah, you can.
Yep. So attack with my dagger. Oh, for fuck's sake.
That's your one.
One.
So you're just it's dark, you're groggy, you've just woken up, and the fire is, you know, emitting light, but there's this massive bear creating shadows, and you're just flailing, and you just kind of miss over the place in that one.
Right. And can I sneak away?
Yeah, if you want to. You would only have half your movement because it's so you've moved. When you stand up, you use half your movement, so you would only have
rounded down. Yeah,
yeah. So you move 5 foot, I think that is, and then
my speed's 25. So
so you'd have 5 feet. So you don't have a lot to move. To be honest,
just move back where I was. Okay, I'm done then.
Okay, Millicent.
These two down here. Can I attack? Attack either one. I'm in melee range of either one, aren't I? Really?
Yeah, absolutely. You can. The one of them is lit up with fairy fire.
I'll take the hint and I'll give that one a shot. So here's roll number one.
You have an advantage on him. So the first was a total of 17. So both are hit. That was the second one. You'll take that 8 damage.
Yes, and that's that for now.
Okay, not going to use any bonus actions.
For the moment, no.
Okay. Well, it is its turn. It's going to take a step up and attack you back. 15 against your armor class, and it's clawing at you again.
That is a hit.
That is a hit. Okay. For 7 points of damage, if the target is a creature other than an elf or undead, it must succeed on a DC, blah, 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 constitution saving throw. Blah, blah, blah. You're a half elf. Okay.
I'll do it, but you can give me advantage.
Pardon?
I could do the same, but you give me advantage.
Perhaps. I like that as a house rule because I don't know the ruling on that. So go on, roll with advantage. This
is going to roll terribly now because
Macron says not an elf. So I think you do have to look at the rules quite black and white. You are not an elf. So yeah, you don't need to roll.
You don't
need to roll. That's fine. You're not an elf. You do need to roll. Yes, you do need to roll. No advantage. You do need to roll.
What is it? A con save?
Con save, please.
There we are.
Oh, lovely. Nothing happened.
Yowza.
Stings a bit. But you're fine.
Is that a natural 20?
That was a natural 20.
Okay. This one's a little bit overwhelmed. And it's thinking it's going to go over here. So this one is leaving your space if you want to make an attack of opportunity, Millicent.
Yes, please. 20?
Dirty 20. That will hit for 6 points of damage. And then it's going to attack, or try to attack, the fucker in armour.
Oh, me.
Yeah. 17.
19.
You took the time to on your shield, so that's fine. Okay, so it misses you. So you don't need to make that saving throw.
No.
Right. Droop.
It's still asleep.
Droop, no, he's up now. He's awake, and he's a little bit... He doesn't really know what to do. He is going to go and hide in this... bush tree, whatever the fuck that is. This ghoul is going to... He looks a bit easier to attack. So he's going to move over and attack Burr. I think he hasn't technically left your area, Pock, so you won't get the opportunity against this one. He's going to attack Burr. Rolls a 4, so we'll miss.
Definitely.
Again, I'm assuming, Burr, that you'll probably have slept in your armour, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Of course you have.
Of course. Pock. You got to be ready for anything.
This is it. Pock, you're
So I'll go for the one that doesn't have the advantage attack against it. I'll leave that one for Millicent. 21.
Nice.
That will hit for the bite. Roll for damage, sir.
6.
Nice.
Damage.
Okay. And you get a second attack?
13.
13 is a hit.
Come on. That's a 9.
Ooh. Another 9 points of damage.
Booyah.
That was a bite. So one of them was a bite, one's a claw, yeah?
First was a bite, second was a claw, yeah.
Okay, lovely. It tastes like shit.
Does he have a dick?
Because he won't for long.
If I move up a space so that I'm in range... Oh, mind you, I'm in range of the one in both. I'm in range of 3, aren't I?
Yes.
I'll stay put.
Okay. And then this one that you just kind of clawed at is going to go back for you as well. And he is also, because you're big, he's going to try and jump on you and bite you. And we'll roll a 12.
It just lands.
Excellent. I say excellent. Excellent for me. Right. He is going to hit you with that bite, 10 points of damage.
Eesh.
Can you roll Constitution saving throw, please?
7.
7?
Yeah.
7, sorry. Yeah, I was annoyed, so I said it quietly. 7.
Okay. You, sir, suddenly find yourself unable to move.
No.
You are paralyzed. Now, a paralyzed creature is incapacitated. You can't move or speak. You automatically will fail any strength or dexterity saving throws. Any attack rolls against you will have advantage. Any attack that hits you is an automatic critical hit if the attacker is within 5 feet of you.
Oh, I should have moved.
Incapacitated means that you can't take actions or reactions. So you're paralyzed, you're frozen. Okay?
So I can't even release bear form?
No, can't do anything.
Fuck! Shit.
Did you prepare another character, Sean?
Well, no, at least they should stop attacking him now.
We did discuss that Pock did have a twin, right?
Right. I'm going to... Unfortunately, I can't do anything to help him, so I'm going to attack the guy in front of me who's got the hunter's mark on him.
Do it.
So I'm going to hit with my weapon, but this is plus one to things because of the weapon it
That's
is.
That's right, yeah.
Come on. Okay, I'm going to press it again.
There it was.
Okay, so 21.
Yeah, 21 will be a hit, and then 5 points of damage, yeah?
Yeah, fine. And also I get a D6 on that because of the hunter's mark.
You roll that separately.
D6. Who had the inspiration earlier, by the way?
That was Pock from left over from last week, but he's used it.
Oh, no, I already
used it.
One.
Didn't Scapes have inspiration?
Yes.
No, I've...
D6 and add it to... The only thing he can't do is damage, though, normally.
Yeah, so he doesn't need it at the moment.
No.
Okay. Cool.
There you go. So plus one. So I've got 7 altogether.
Cool. It doesn't like it. It's swaggering around and you kind of shake it off and it sort of bounces back and it comes looming back for you. It's still
cool.
Anything else?
Right, bonus action. I can't move out of his range without incurring an attack, can I?
True. You can't. But I mean, you can do it anyway.
Okay, how far can I move?
30 feet.
Can I move over between these two fellows? See, just to the left of Purple Man.
Yep, yes, you can.
Okay, I'm doing it.
All right, it will roll an attack of opportunity against you and miss because you're a bloody tank.
Thing is, that guy's got my hunter's mark, so that's really annoying, but I've got to be over it.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'm going to have a little knock on the guy I'm already at, I suppose. So, 15.
That will hit. Roll for damage. Nice.
Yeah.
1d8 plus 3 is 7, 9.
9 points of damage. plus your sneak attack.
How many did you just roll? Was 7, so isn't that 10?
10, sorry, yeah.
Sorry, 10, sorry. My maths is awful.
Yeah, plus your sneak attack.
Plus my sneak attack, which is with the dagger, yes.
So you do the sneak attack damage anyway. So you've hit it, so you can do your sneak attack damage, which is the additional D6. So is it still just one D6? Has that gone up to 2 now?
2 D6.
There you go. So you just, because you hit him, you just get to do an additional 2 D6 damage.
8.
Another 8, and now you can make a second attack with your dagger.
A 3.
Or miss.
So I missed that.
A tasty amount. As a 15.
18 points. 18.
Yeah, so 18, you're to a 10. Yeah, I'm looking at the second. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. So that was well done. Again, still standing, but it didn't like it. You kind of slash, you kind of feint an attack with the dagger and throw it off guard, and then you kind of just whip it up with the rapier and stab it in the armpit. Cool. He's wobbling all over the place. His arm's almost hanging off.
Good.
Nice.
Minicent.
Come on, girl.
I'm assuming, Burr, that you were going to stay there and not move
anywhere. Yeah, I don't think there's any, really anywhere else to go unless I move away to avoid being attacked, but then he's just going to attack Hawk anyway, so yeah. Stick where I am.
Okay.
Right, big swing with advantage still, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
23.
Yeah, boy.
Lovely.
5 points of damage.
5 points of damage. Have you got anything else, Millicent?
No.
Okay. He or it is kind of engaged with you, so I think he doesn't know any different. He's going to go and attack you back. And we'll hit with a 21.
Can I use... actually, no. 21, did you say?
I did say, yeah.
Then don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't do shit about that. So,
okay. another 6 points of damage. Can you make a saving throw, please?
Con save.
Yeah. Lovely.
Lovely. Again.
Right. Yeah.
Fuck it hell. That's nice. The second one.
Okay, so this one who's been left, he was fighting this armored dude, and he's just kind of run off. So the question is, who's the closest opponent to him? He doesn't know that Droop is there. He's run off and hidden. and he's probably just a little bit closer to Millicent. Rolls a 13.
Miss.
Hey, just saw you bought that extra armor. See, there was thank a point God. To the first half.
Yeah.
All those naysayers.
My extra 1 point.
Cool.
Is saved well. You.
Brilliant. Okay. Okay. I'm going to give him advantage because he's attacked from a hiding position. He's running from behind. So I'm going to give him advantage as he runs up. I mean, I'm assuming this is the question, though, guys. And honestly, now, have you allowed him to have a weapon?
I think that would have to be up to Scapes.
Yeah, Scapes is a goblin.
Back, mate.
Well, we took his shoes. I don't see why not. It's not, what can we do?
Okay. Yeah. That's not something that I had considered, actually, is the fact that, like, you guys have kind of been, would he have a weapon?
He'd maybe have a knife, wouldn't he?
I don't think... Oh, I'm going to be a dick here, but...
I don't think you would.
Okay, we probably took the weapon. Okay.
Better question, would you have been able to conceal a weapon from us?
Has he the shank up the ass trick?
Yeah.
Can can anyone throw him a weapon?
He might pick up a branch from a tree or...
Really sharp stick.
He's run off again. He's off.
He is off.
Cheeky bastard.
I love how there's no reason for him to switch trees.
He ain't. He's run off.
Goblins have a very similar trait to what Burr has as a rogue. It's called a nimble escape. So a goblin can take the disengage or hide action as a bonus action on each of his turns.
Right.
So, yeah, what he does is out of nowhere, he stalks out the shadows. He runs up. He does something to that ghoul. But none of you are paying any attention. You don't know what the fuck's going on. But basically, Millicent, you're fighting it. You might suddenly notice that out of nowhere, this ghoul kind of goes, like, makes a move like it's been attacked, spins round, flailing a little bit wildly, misses, whatever it was. But you can't see anything there in the shadows, even with your okay. Your dark vision, because he rolled well.
Good man.
Duel against Burr.
Where?
An 11 against
15 my armor class. So.
Right, Pop. No. It's your turn. You're paralyzed and incapacitated, so you can't do anything. What's your duck up to?
He's just I don't know where he is at the minute, but he's in me somewhere.
One of your offices.
I mean, technically, I could have dropped him I transformed.
It was probably just minding his business, having a little crack around somewhere when you were sleeping. You get to re-roll your saving throw to see if you can snap out of the paralysis.
Am I adding anything to that?
It's just a constitution saving throw. So in your saving throw,
bonuses,
whatever your con is.
Zero. Fuck. 12.
You snap out of it. And you're aware of what's going on. You suddenly, because you're fine. You're in your mind. You're like, come on, I'm gonna need to do this. Everyone's gonna die. I'm gonna need to
get up.
And then out of nowhere, you just start moving. That's your go over.
Is that the whole thing?
You get to do that at the end of your turn.
Cool.
Lecky Macon says if GM inspiration was a thing, I said GM inspiration should be a thing. That was a great use of an NPC. Cheers. Yay. Boom. Gun fingers. you basically got this ghoul, Pock, who's been gnawing on you while you were paralysed, and it didn't seem to like that. Unfortunately, he loses his advantage against you, so he would have, but he will try and bite you again, and it's very much successful. Very much.
Is it naturally successful?
Naturally successful.
Didn't need
that paralysis after all. So our house rule, we talk about it every week. Okay. Raw is double damage dice. Our rule is roll damage plus max damage as if he'd rolled max. So he was gnawing into you with a bite. How much HP has a bear got?
I'm left with 19 after the last attack.
Okay, I'm just working this out in my head because I've had enough drinks that I can't do basic maths.
I don't know if that's a good thing or bad thing.
24 points of damage.
Fuck.
Oh.
So how much has the bear got?
Got 19, so 5 dip into Pock.
So you shrink back into Pock, which throws the goblin off, not goblin, the ghoul off of you as he's teeth kind of just start magically biting thin air, and you return to Pock, taking 5 points of damage as Pock.
Cool, 13 left.
Roll a constitution saving throw, please.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit, is it raining?
Oh, another 12. You pass. That's fine.
Hey!
One minute.
Are you stuck in the rain?
I don't know, nearly. Okay. All right. I've got to do this quickly because I've got to go indoors. So let me do one more quickly.
Go on, James.
Sorry, mate. Okay, the one that's been gnawing on Pock, I'm going to attack him. There you go. So 12. 12's
a hit.
12.
Because you got that plus.
Just hits. Okay. So, that's 10 damage, but I also want to use as a Divine Smite with it.
Gonna let you metagame there a bit. You smash into it with this sword, and as your sword's coming down, you're channeling that godly energy, but the sword makes contact first just before you get to finish that chant, and it just save yourself.
Thank you.
That's fine.
Okay, so I've got a bonus action, haven't I?
Yep.
I'd like to just move just to the south of purple.
Okay.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, that's not a bonus. That's just a movement. You just get to do that. You can move it.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't really need to use a bonus action anyway.
Okay.
I don't think I've got anything. Oh, wait. I should have. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Get yourself inside before your laptop gets wet.
Yes. All right. 2 seconds.
Okay, so just very quickly, just to answer Lecky Mokon's question. So the ghouls, insight for the players, metagaming a bit, but the bite attack does 2d6 damage plus their modifier. So on a crit, normally you would just double all dice. That's what it says, raw, is you double all dice. So it would be 4d6 plus modifier. But our rule is we just assume that the first set of dice, your normal roll, is maximum plus the roll. So basically it did 12 plus 2d6. Plus modifiers, which is what I went with there. Psychon senses POC has a max.
18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems about right. I mean, you rolled poorly when you leveled up, did you?
I think you did it. Yeah. I don't know how to do all that stuff yet. You did it for me. I was 14 at level 2.
Yeah.
And I'm now on 18.
So I think I just took, must have just taken the average then, because you don't have a constitution modifier. So,
yeah, I've got 0 for constitution.
You roll with D8 and the average is 4. That'd be why.
Oh, okay.
Q, burr you up.
Right, I'm going to just have another nick at the guy who's next to me. Try and finish him off. 7 plus 5.
It's a hit, sir.
1 plus 3
is 4.
Yep.
It dies. You bring that ranger up and stab it in the eye.
Amazing.
It dies. You've got a movement and a bonus.
So I can move and attack, can I?
Yep.
So I might as well move over to the one that's surrounded by everyone. Can I move that far?
Uh-huh.
1, 2, 3, 4, yeah.
Yep.
Move to here. And I shall attack this schlag.
Go.
Again.
So you get advantage on this one with your dagger.
Roll me D20 again, yeah? 15.
Yep. I don't want to be a dick, but go on. Just check in. Would POC have had to check his concentration if he dropped, if he took damage?
You're very much right. He's running concentration. So, yeah, when you run concentration spells, every time you take damage, you have to roll a concentration check just to make sure that you can maintain your concentration on the spell. Well done.
Right.
So
I only said it, the chat would have said it eventually.
No one would have called it out.
Let me check the concentration.
It does also overlast.
Whenever you
take
damage while you're concentrating on a spell, you must make a constitution saving throw to maintain your concentration. The DC equals 10 or half the damage you take, whichever number is higher. So, 10. Yeah.
Took 5 points, yeah.
So you probably should have took it when you took that 24. So every time you've been hit, you should have been rolling. But we'll leave it for now. Okay. We'll do it next time because I can't bother to wreck on it.
Okie dokie. I'll bear that in mind.
We'll bear that in mind for the future. Right. Burr, did you roll to hit this?
Yeah, I rolled a 15.
Is that with advantage? Might get a nat 20.
Oh,
which so it's always worth advantage. Rolling again because you might.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. No, I got 3.
Okay, so 15, the 15 plus your modifier will hit.
Will do.
So you do your damage with the dagger, plus you still got your sneak attack, which you haven't used this round.
Okay, so 1d4. 3 plus 3.
So because this is your bonus attack, you don't add your modifier on this.
Okay, so it's just 3 then.
So it's 3, and then you do get to do your sneak attack, so 2d6.
Sneak attack, 2d6. Nice. 4.
Number 4. Remarkably, it's still standing.
Jeez.
This one. Middicent. You're up. So you've got one lit up in fairy fire, and you've got another one below you.
I'm going to stab the fairy fire one.
19 will hit. Do you get...
Sorry.
It's always worth going, because you might get the nat 20.
21. 5 damage on this one.
Okay. That kills it off. You got a nice short sword now, haven't you?
At last.
So cool. Nice shiny new short sword just lops off its head.
I don't have to be far away to hit it.
Alrighty then. So you're dead. It's turn. So this one is surrounded by everyone. Question is, so it didn't see where the goblin went, so it will go for... Again, it's got two people next to it, so let's just go odds and evens again. Odds, Millicent, evens, Scapes. Evens this time for Scapes.
Yay.
I rolled a 20. Not natural.
Can I use Millicent's thing?
No, the Bardic Inspiration, no. That's to add on to your attack.
No, oh, but okay. I could use Millicent's thing.
You could use Cutting Words if
you wanted to. Why not? I haven't used it yet. I'm going to roll a d6 and take that off of his attack roll. So actually...
What, is that a cantrip for you?
No, it's a bonus action.
Bonus action.
It's a reaction, sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So,
I just know. Your mama sold that and do some mama joke. And then
you reduce my roll by 3, which brings it down to a 17, which is a miss.
Oh, yes. Nice. I love bards.
Okay.
Thank you.
Come on then, Lisa. I want to hear it.
You're most welcome. I can't think of anything off the top of my head.
You're Googling.
This is where you what you need to do for future homework during the week, right? Is this week watch basketball.
Oh, yeah, it's the best. Steve Perry.
and take some notes.
That is possibly one of my favorite. Well, it is like top it. 3, top 5.
I've got it.
Okay, I've got one.
It's on Netflix. Your mom is there, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. The other one that they did was.
All hey, Millicent was just about to.
I know.
Your mum is so fat, she has to make 3 trips to haul ass.
Oh, I can't believe she just said that.
I produce flame.
Oh, my God.
Okay. From the shadows, out runs Droop and will hit with his dagger for...
His ass shank.
Yeah, his shank that he's found.
Shank.
For 6 points of damage. He jumps on the back of this last ghoul, which has 4 hit points left. And literally just proper, like, horrible goblin prison shanking, jumps on its back and just starts stabbing it in the neck with this little shank that it's got. And brings it down to the ground as it just tears its head off of its neck. And it falls to the ground. And it looks at you guys. And it's like, see? I told you. Droop. Here to help.
Yeah,
can I have my shoes now, please?
No.
No.
Oh, come on. Hey, guys.
Being on the other side of it, I would be covered in blood.
Absolutely. And you've just been showered in visceral and blood, splattered out of it as he's just stabbed this girl down to death. Okay.
I'm going to say, Scapes, keep your fucking goblin on a leash, mate.
Yeah.
And he's looking at you like a puppy.
A freak on a leash.
So happy, like, with his big gleaming smile, like, hey, I did a good thing. And he's like, even with my dog, he's like running around, like, wagging his
tail.
Well,
I just pat it on the head, and I just pat him on the head.
Droop is starting to sound more and more like Cheech from Cheech and Chong.
Okay, combat over.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Right. Ouch. Jesus. Not even there yet.
Well, so we're going back to sleep.
Just go back to bed. Yeah, so it's like halfway through the night. You need to finish off your long rest.
I need a long rest.
I didn't take any damage that round, so I don't mind taking watch again if you guys want to get some rest.
You still need to get like the 8 hours rest during the day, or you can take a level of exhaustion.
Okay,
but basically, in a long rest, in an 8 hour long rest, you would, as long as it's no more. There is a rule on it. I think it's like as long as there's no more of like 10 minutes of exertion or something like that. I can't remember what it is, but I don't know if a fight breaks it up or not. But it's fine. But yeah, so you can finish off your rest however you want. You're not going to get another attack in the night.
Do we get spells back?
Yeah, after the end of your long rest, you get your spells back.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Can't be sleep.
Can I also do anything in terms of bringing my health back up?
You get it back automatically throughout the night.
Back to
when you
full
take a
marked?
Long rest, yeah, you go straight back up to full health.
Crack it, lovely. Yeah. I'll take it.
All right,
so it's painful, but not too bad.
So
that was right. That was a bit of fun, wasn't it?
Yeah. So we're cracking on to.
Should we get to Thundertree or as far as we can get?
Yeah, let's go.
Cool. So morning comes, so not shortly after, or not long after, rather, as this combat finishes and you're probably just packing down, there's a that starts raining a little bit come morning, once the sun starts rising and you've got a full-blown storm, it's wet, it's miserable, but you're all right. You've got nevers, you've got your horses, and you ride back up. You keep on going, kind of following as close to the woods as you can possibly get. You do a sort of another sort of half day. You stop for lunch, and it's just miserable. It's just really, really raining. As you get towards the end of the day, you can see Helm's Hold in the distance. You're kind of travelling between it and the forest, and it's a massive, massive kind of fort on a hill, basically a massive cathedral up the middle of it. You could bypass there. You'll keep going or make a stop if you wanted to for the night. It's up to you what you want to do. Do you know much about Helm's Hold? Well, now there is a question.
Is there anything worth stopping for, really? What I'm thinking.
I mean, it's a small town. It's a sanctuary, basically. Let me bring something up for you.
Did you say cathedral?
Yeah, so basically, there's a monastery there.
Those ghouls, when we killed them, they didn't turn to dust by any chance,
did they? No, they just fell into a bloody heap.
That's right, then.
Helm's Hold, once a small monastery in adjacent village dedicated to the deity Helm, the god Helm, that is. The cathedral of Helm's Hold now towers above the town and surrounding lands that bear its name. The death of Helm, the god Helm died, apparently, because gods can do that, saw the monastery fall into disuse. But the fortified town became a refuge about 100 years ago now. There was shit going on in the books, which basically there's a war between the gods. I mean, Mistra, the god of magic, died, and it cancelled all magic in the land for a little while. And there was this massive, like, the skies lit up in blue flame. And magic started doing really weird crap. People got inflicted with this weird plague, which got dubbed the Spell Plague. And some people still suffer from that around now. You'd kind of know about it. It's just basic history. And basically, because of that, Helm's Hold became a refuge for those inflicted with the Spell Plague. Basically, Lord, you would know all of this because you've come from Neverwinter. Lord Neverember exiles victims of Spell Plague from Neverwinter and sends them down to Helm's Hold to be treated, basically to quarantine them and then get treated by all of the clerics and priests and everything of Helm and Ogma. I think Ogma is the other one that they down there. It would be a small detour. There's not much need for you to get there.
If we can make it to Thundertree, I'd say we do that. If not, yeah. I think I'd rather find refuge in Helm's Hold than in the woods again.
Yeah, so I think basically you would have to push on into the night a bit to get there, because it reckons that like before you could do like
25.
I'd say with
the
horses you can probably do a little bit more, maybe up to 30 miles. So you could probably just get there as night's falling again once you've had your break during the day. That will negate the risk of any encounters.
Heads Helm's Hold then.
That's good.
That's fine.
Helm's Hold.
Basically, there's a massive refuge camp outside the walls. There's lots of people. The town has been overrun. And getting into the town is quite difficult. But there is an inn in there. If you want to go in there and stay at the inn, and we'll just montage past it, because we don't really need to have massive encounters in there. Unless there's anything particularly that you want to do in there at the moment.
No.
Just need a bed.
Beer and a bed.
Yeah, so you can knock off a couple of silvers each from the from your purse. There's lots of information about Helm's Hold. It's quite an interesting place, but it's not really relevant now unless you want to get sidetracked. But there's, like, maybe if you spend some time in the bar, you hear people talking about a woman called the Prophet. Rahini, the prophet, who operates out of the cathedral, and she's claims to get to receive recently. She's been coming up with predictions on kind of like or like in her sermons of what's it called? Kind of like guessing the future, where it's called fortunes.
Predictions.
And, stuff. And she's predicting that the god Helm is going to be returning soon, things like that. And she's been doing miracles, basically healing people of the spell plague and stuff like that, and then other people, some, you know, there seems to be some kind of class war going on as well between those inflicted by the spell plague and some that, and those that aren't, basically. But if you're just going to keep your head down, go asleep.
Yeah,
maybe come back, we'll see.
Okay. In the morning you carry on, and you'll get up there. It's from there, it's only about another 10 miles, so it'll only take you a cut from maybe an hour to get there with your horses, I reckon.
There's no road we can buy health potions in Helm's.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Might as well get some more while we're here.
Yeah,
how many do you want?
Sorry,
how many do you want?
How many do we need, you guys? Couple each, or
I would, if we can get four plus. We've got two, haven't
we? We've got two.
Have we got how much money?
How much are they?
They're 50 gold.
They're 50, yeah, 50
gold a piece.
That's the game, right?
Yeah.
What have we got in the kitty?
We've got in the kitty, at the moment, we've got 133 gold, but we get a 50 gold deposit back when we return the horses.
You've got a shitload of silver as well. Remember, 10 silver.
We've got like 302 silver.
So that's 30 gold.
Have we got enough for one each?
You got enough for two.
We already bought two. So we could just get
Another two then. Yeah.
We'll get another two, yeah. Okay. Yeah, another fine. Two.
You do it. And you head up to Thunder Tree. You'll probably get there then, maybe, because you get them more, you have your breakfast, you go and you find an apothecary or something, and you purchase yourself some couple of health potions. Okay. Right. Gradually, the trail becomes an old, overgrown lane winding between dilapidated buildings, choked in vines and brush, and ahead of you, in the middle of the settlement, you can see rises a steep hill, upon which stands a stone tower with a partially collapsed roof and adjoining cottage. A dirt road hugs the base of the hill and winds its way between old stone houses, many of which are roofless ruins, with interiors open to the weather. Other buildings appear more or less intact, and the whole place is eerily silent. As you go up a bit closer towards the town, you fall on this road and you get a bit closer, you find come across a wooden sign which is nailed to a post nearby, and it reads, "Danger! Plant monsters and zombies! Turn back now!"
Well, that ain't gonna scare us.
It's a good fucking shit sign. roll me a perception.
Everyone.
Yeah, why not? Lovely.
18.
Ooh.
20.
Okay. So as I said, it's eerily silent. Not even the sound of birds or anything like that you can hear at all. You notice running through some bushes, you see a squirrel run across through some bushes and disappear.
Can I
the end of this week's session at 5:00.
Just as you end, can I just grab that squirrel?
Nope. It was in the distance, you saw it.
Ah, okay.
Read off, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool.
There we go. All right, so
we got there.
That's the end.
That was like watching Lord of the Rings.
Just walking.
It was 3 hours of nothing.
I always love the bit in Clerks 2 when like the little kind of nerdy kid that he works with behind the counter is talking about the Holy Trilogy, and then Randall slags it off. So it's not the Holy Trilogy, it's like Star Wars and stuff. And then another guy comes in and they pull out their one rings that they've got and they recant their one ring for all them. And Randall just rips into him and it's like, it's just 9 hours. Like, here's the first movie, and he just walks a little bit. It's like, here's the second movie, he walks a little bit and then sidesteps. And it's like, here's the third movie, and he walks up, stands there, goes, drops the ring, and then just walks away. And then he starts slacking off and he's talking about how it should have ended with Frodo. And Samwise just boning each other. The guy just throws up. Oh, I love it. I love a bit of Kevin.
Oh yeah, he throws up.
Does. Love it. Okay, anyway, so that's the end of this week's session. Thank you everybody for joining us. Has been a bit of a slow one, but again, I think it's a genuine representation of how D&D goes sometimes. But we've had some jokes, so hopefully we've made it a bit more interesting. We really appreciate it.
Fun.
Good, I'm glad.
Yeah.
I you know, we talked about it before we started streaming tonight, but basically behind the prep screen is that I am bloody tired, didn't really know what to do tonight, I was trying to drag it out. So I didn't want to dive straight into it tonight because I need a bit more time to kind of prep the next part of the adventure. So it's my bad. It's been a tough week and we've had the kids' birthday. So but thank you very much for sticking with us. I haven't really been looking at numbers. We've got 7 people in the chat, so that's probably our usual people. So thank you very much, PsychonSent. Thank you, Lucky Macon. Thank you, Lucaroo22. I'm assuming Dazbray's probably still in there trying to get his brownie points with the missus.
I think he's going to head.
Yeah, I wouldn't blame him, to be honest. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Please do, if you're listening to the podcast, please do drop us a review on the old iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. It helps bring our numbers up. But response has been really positive on Twitter and stuff. If you're watching the video again, tell your, well, whatever, just tell your friends, tell your gaming groups, share us around if you see our stuff. You can find us on Twitter at show D&D, or individually you can find me at Lukey
underscore question mark.
At Lukey babe, Lukey underscore baby 86. Sean,
hello. You can find me on Instagram Sean F. Lee, Lisa. And various directions from there.
You can find me on Twitter at the underscore energy,
Mr. Gavin Bourne.
You can find me on Instagram Gav at Gav Beer and Beards. I always forget.
James doesn't do social media, but any final words, sir?
See you next week.
Absolutely. Yeah, was it?
See you next Tuesday.
See you later.
The D&D Show would like to thank Sword Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the music and sound effects used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Sword Coast Sounds. Also, a massive thank you to Lewis Gale for producing our amazing theme tune. Follow him on Twitter at LewisSWGale. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading this podcast. You're breathtaking. See you soon.
Oh, hello there. Bird bolt thrower here. Excuse me one second. Oh, you bastard. Oi, Scapes, wrap up a bit of that alt meat for me, will ya? Do you sometimes find yourself in the midst of battle wondering if a creature is flanked? Wondering if you meet the criteria for sneak attack? Well, look no further. Grab your player's handbook or other D&D books at langdongames.co.uk using the code DICEANDDIE for a whopping 15% off of their D&D range. That's langdongames.co.uk. Happy adventures.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song?
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
5 adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.